So of the three versions of the Grinch, of course, the original Dr. Seuss, narrated by Boris Karloff, with songs by Thurl Ravenscroft, with that, you know, that two-dimensional cartoon that we grew up with, versus like the Jim Carrey version with the Ron Howard film, versus like the digital animation that more modern era that looks like it's just pinpoint accuracy. The kids that watch those versions versus the ones that we were raised on must seem like it must. That original version must just seem like fucking cave drawings to them compared to like what they have access to now, the four-dimensional fucking live animation, fucking animatronic, fucking invade your soul, inherit your fucking brain, just taking over your life, just fucking, and we were raised on fucking cave drawings. Hola, bienvenue, welcome, guten tag, avidazeng, all that shit, bonjour, comment vas-tu, ça va, oui, ça va bien, hey, how's it going, how the fuck is it going out there, people, let's fucking go, excuse me, I'm kind of amped up today, why do you ask, well, because I think I've solved the key to women, what? Well, that's a bold statement, Johnny. Well, you know, before you go down the wrong road, let me explain. I haven't solved anything. It was a wild weekend, okay? And chaos was being served on the menu. Yeah. But I kind of knew going in what to expect, kind of. Although the minute you think you've got it figured out is when you realize probably that it's quite the opposite, right? It's like I was listening to Chris Williamson, his podcast, and he was saying something to the effect of like once the culture goes one way, the counterculture is ready to kind of, you know, when they zig, the counterculture zags, right? So the minute like things become in vogue, you may want to, you know, it's going to extinguish itself, right? It's just a kind of a cultural, pendulum of sorts, right? So, you know, in like the 70s were like a wild free-for-all decade, and then the 80s became conservative, right, with Reagan and all those assholes. Then the 90s kind of got wacky again, and then we reeled it in, I don't know, the next, you know what I mean? It's going back and forth, right? But I was going through so I was originally going to do a whole other type of podcast, really just kind of the droning on about something or somebody. Like, I don't know, I started thinking about Ted Knight, right? The other day, like Friday, I think it was Friday. Like, you know, boy, Ted Knight sure is an underrated actor. Like, who gives a fuck, you know? But think about it. It's Ted Knight, you know, too. Like, this is a guy that, like, he was on, like, he was in the cast of Mary Tyler Moore, I believe, as, like, the news guy. Then he was on Too Close for Comfort as the cartoonist in San Francisco. But the coup de grace of Ted Knight was Caddyshack. I mean, that's just the most, one of the iconic, most brilliant comedic performances ever. But enough about Ted Knight. But seriously, Caddyshack was brilliant. Bushwood, a dump. Why, I, you know, stuff like that. It's brilliant. Him and Rodney. I mean, those are the two. Like, you know, if if there was like ever an example of like two iconic kind of neck prods that construct the Frankenstein monster of a movie, it would be those two. Rodney on one side of the neck, Ted Knight on the other. Those bolts, you know, like those Frankenstein bolts that when you, you know, you zap them, you hook them up to the car battery, you know, with your jumper cables, they spring to life. And that movie, and talk about so many great other great performances. I mean, you got Bill Murray improvising his role. You got Chevy Chase, just legendary. it just goes on and on. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, right? My thing is this. I think that I'm a kind of a chaos junkie. I think I'm a high, as much as most of us don't really want to claim that distinction, there has to be a point in your life where you, I'm gonna have to multitask, and what better, more clear example of that is to simultaneously kind of contain and sort through the chaos of a situation, whilst still functioning and being a contributor to society or the day or the job that you're at or whatever the case may be, right? So, case in point, I'll tell you, I was, on my way up to Grass Valley because, Friday was a long day. Friday at 9 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Well, basically 8:30 to 9:30, like 13 hours, just went hard. And, but it was kind of chaotic. You know, I'm taking calls. My buddy Mike, bullshitting to him, talking about this, that, and the other holidays and our chaotic lives as a male, as being a male in the contemporary male in today's society. Yeah, we hit the hot topics, you know. And but then just simply covering the kind of your bases, just kind of me taking care of like my job and being present in the moment. And then instead of like looking at the fact that I know that every route I had stops, every stop was needed to be covered. There was nobody that didn't need attention Friday. So, but I kind of turned it into like a micro process where I didn't look at the big picture, where I knew I was going to be out till 9:30 kind of taking care of shit. I just took care of what was in front of me. And then, so Saturday, I take off for Grass Valley, and it was going to be, I was thinking like, fuck, you know, my mom and I were going to have like a kind of a Christmas luncheon. We kind of started this tradition last year, and but my girls are coming up. They're coming up next Saturday. Yes, this coming Saturday. And I thought, you know, why don't I'll give them the option to see if they want to come up with us to visit my dad, see their grandfather, despite the compromising position that he's in with dementia. And or aphasia, rather, which is kind of what Bruce Willis has. Which we were watching Die Hard Saturday night. I fell asleep to Die Hard, but I'll loop back around to that. Speaking of which, great Christmas movie. But on the way up, I get this text from my lady. She says, "I got to go out. I'm going out tonight," and that's scary because it's not we're going out tonight. It's I'm going out tonight. I need a break. I have to get out. Okay. And I get it. I mean, it's chaos, right? I mean, it's this time of year. You know, she carries around a lot of stress and a lot of kind of a lot of loose ends in her life with her own family and stuff like that. And everything else is pretty much dialed, but she's been dealing with, like, I mean, work, kind of work stress, dealing with bristly people at work, and who, you know, of course, they're all dealing with their own shit, and everybody's got kind of like that tension and that bristliness sometimes this time of year, because it's darker out. It's always darker. This is dark. It's easier. It's more inclined to going down a kind of a depressive little hole of sorts. Everything's dark, right? I mean, Jesus, I watched Polar Express before I turn on Die Hard. Everything's dark. The whole thing is dark. Dark, dark, dark. Die Hard is dark. The whole movie is dark. Everything's at night. Dark. It's just darkness. Complete and utter darkness, right? And it's almost like its own character in the movies, in these holiday movies, right? Even Office Christmas part. Like, I'm watching all these movies that are kind of, I don't know, they all seem to be, the underlying theme, of course, is Christmas, but the other underlying theme is Christmas party. And what better, okay, so now I'm, once my lady texts me this, I need to go out, that means there's something brewing. Usually it's attributed to me. Something I've done, said, acted out, did some, I don't know. And so, now it's lodged in the back of my head, which I can't, because I'm with my mom, we're driving up to see my pops, and I can't really just kind of like expand on it. Like, you don't want to air dirty laundry outside of the confines that they need to be aired. So you just harbor that, and but you still have to function. You still have to kind of get through your day. You got to get through your job, get through, you know, visiting your dad in a memory care facility, converse over lunch, talk about football, talk about nonsense, you know, just random, just entertaining conversation, stuff like that with your mom or whoever you're, you know, you gotta be a high functioning chaos junkie of sorts. You know, you've got to eat it up, right? So Friday night, as I was delivering all the blood to these hospitals, I'm listening to the Elon Musk bio again, bio on the audiobook. And he's one of these guys that habitually, kind of as a pattern, is addicted to these kind of chaotic women, whether it was Amber Heard or his like first wife or even Grimes, the Canadian entertainer that he just had a little boy with a couple years ago and by now, but first of all, she's Canadian, so that's a red flag. Just kidding. But her real name is Claire Boucher, and she is drawn to chaos as well. So she helps create. Like, she sleeps all day, she's up all night. He just goes. Sleeps on the factory floor, or in his office, or he's out and about, his private jet's going like, I think there was a tally of like 1,100 hours of flying this last year he did, just going from one seminar to one symposium to another bullshit thing, to another SpaceX thing, to a Tesla thing, to a Cybertruck launch, to this chaos, to that chaos. So when you got people that are kind of, and he's no stranger to, I mean, he's definitely the troll in chief. He's the man. When it comes to trolling people, like, he's got the knack, right? Like he said, like, I guess a famous tweet retort that he'd had, and I don't kind of follow him religiously, but I guess when he was accused of fathering a baby of a SpaceX engineer, he said, well, we need more people on the planet. Like, instead of just denying it or blocking someone, I think he just, you got to have fun with it, right? But, so the whole time, so my lady's at work Saturday, I'm driving up to Grass Valley, up into the mountains with my mom. We decided to postpone our Christmas lunch to maybe have with the girls when they come up next Saturday. And because because I was also having a planning a get together at my apartment with everybody, but nobody's going to be available. Like, my lady was, she won't be available, and Ness, my producer daughter won't be, she'll be working, so it's just gonna be me and the girls, my mom. And so I figured, well, we'll just do an afternoon thing. I'm not going to wait up till everybody gets done at 9 o'clock to come over, you know? Fuck all that. 10 o'clock, whenever. And, but I knew there was something waiting for me at the end of the, at the end of the day. I knew there was something, like, because I cannot communicate with, my lady can only text or call on her lunch. Otherwise, it's like a violation of, she can't drive and text and chat and be on her phone. It's a company policy, and I get that's typical protocol. I understand that. So it's a very pregnant pause or pregnant text that I need to go out. Oh shit, what's going on? What's happening? What the fuck is going on now, right? And I'm listening to Chris Williams a podcast here about, it's with Whitney Cummings, about what is wrong with modern women, and she nails it, and she's a great example, and it's so interesting to run into, like, somebody that I ran into her one time in Topanga Canyon. I talked about it a couple years ago on the podcast, and she was kind of a little dismissive, but probably some of that is my own fault, because she was with Andrew Huberman, and I was more interested in talking to Andrew Huberman. But I was also asking strange questions, like, can you camp up here, and just random, because I didn't know. I'm trying to find a camp spot with my daughter. And she's like, oh, maybe you should go Google it or something. I don't know. She was a little short, but I don't, whatever. She doesn't know me, and I don't know her, and it's okay. But there's, you know. So she's on this podcast with Chris Williamson. Chris Williamson is like, he's a fucking good podcaster, man, this guy. And, but it, there is the underlying kind of, there's a lot of talk about the dynamics of relationships, of course, and, kind of finding and just ground and just finding a way to ground yourself. And not, I mean, because she's been very public about her. She kind of lost it, you know, in the last couple years ago. She was kind of, she got a little kooky, you know. She was on the ketamine thing. Her hair was blue. That's definitely a red flag there for most people these days. You know, the whole blue hair brigade, you got to really kind of be leery of. You got to watch out, because there's something brewing under that too. But so I'm thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, what's this? Okay, so my lady's like, I need to go out. I want to go out. Well, that tells me fucking hell that she didn't say we're going out. So I'm like, fuck, now what? So I just got to get, so I get home, and she's, and I'm, and I get home, I get done early Saturdays. I'm home like at 3:30, 4. I know she's got a few hours left before she gets home, but, She wants to go out and have a drink, and she's not supposed to, but in the meantime, I've been watching Office Christmas Party. Die Hard. Just chaotic Christmas parties, right? And I thought to myself, because I'm kind of like on the way up to Grass Valley with my mom. We stopped, I had to get gas, and there's I happened upon the cheapest place in probably all the whole county of gas, and it's fucking packed out, right? And there's chaos going on here. It's chaos left and right. Like, people wedging in, people honking each other, trying to get off Hazel Avenue to get into the gas station. It's like 3-4 people deep. There's people backing in, there's people wedging, you know, wedging each other out, fucking yelling, and fights breaking out. And I'm just like, saw my mom, like, I could sit here and watch this all day, honestly. That's the depraved human side of me, is like, I can watch chaos. I don't know what it is, but I could watch that. I could just watch fucking shit unfold all day. And it's kind of related to that I'm drawn to chaos, kind of like Elon, kind of like disturbed human beings like myself and him and everyone else who thrives on chaos. I don't seek it out, but when it's there, I'm in. I'm front row seat. Because speaking of Christmas parties, like, so one thing I think my lady had an issue with was like one of the women at the that she works with was just has something in it for her. Like, I don't know. She's got something. She has it out for her, I guess is a better expression. I don't know why. She just says these weird, I don't know if she's that way with everybody or if she knows that my lady and I are together. And I think she kind of becomes this troll of, I don't know, but they had a potluck. My lady's all excited. She worked all night Friday to have it ready to go out. She made these enchiladas with green chili, which I guess were a real hit. But then she had a red pork chili she made that nobody would walk across the street to just soak their feet in, right? And so that kind of crapped her out. And then this whole kind of chatty Kathy girl that works there that just yaps and just says off-kilter shit just fucking put a bee in her bonnet. So... and I'm at home watching Office Christmas Party and Die Hard and chaotic Christmas parties, and I fucking love it, and I'm drawn to it, and I'm drawn to the chaos of fights at the gas. I was kind of explaining to my mom, like, when we finally sat down for lunch Saturday, that, you know, for like a handful of years, when I was selling cars before I went to. Right before I went to work for Nissan, there, I think in conjunction with, like the, you know, 2008, 2009, we were coming out of the Great Recession. There was no money. So there was really not a lot of business, but so they held off on Christmas parties. But also when you're talking about car dealerships and car salesmen, like, those are, like, the last people that should be having a Christmas party, because there will be chaos. And so after the first year I sold cars in 2009, I think we had a little small kind of luncheon, a Christmas luncheon. But then, and then 2010, we might have done maybe something a little more. But 2011, when I met my lady, we had our first real Christmas party. And it was just Nissan. Because we're like, fuck this fucking sitting on our hands. We're not having a Christmas party. We're afraid of HR. And, you know, all that. Because Christmas parties, they only lead to really one thing. And that's HR nightmares. You know, people fucking each other. Photocopying their bare ass. I was telling the guys up at the Grass Valley Donor Center, I was telling them, like, yeah, you guys, nobody has good Christmas parties. Nobody's photocopying their ass anymore. And the guy that runs that center was telling me about, he told me some story about a McDonald's franchise owner that had some kind of chaotic Christmas party recently. And the only reason anybody found out is because somebody made a TikTok out of it. But people were getting banged on the tables, fucking, you know, just, you know, wild sex. And what was the other thing? There was some ridiculous, just egregious, crazy ass behavior. But I go, well, that doesn't happen anymore. You know, everyone's worried about HR nightmares and being sued or being whatever, fired. I get it. So that's what you, and so that being said, that's what exactly the recipe you do not, those are the ingredients you do not incorporate into the recipe for a dealership car salesman Christmas party, because the first one we had in 2011, I took my lady to, and my roommate Pete just decided he would use his fingers as like, I don't know, like an internal thermometer for some of the women at the dance place. Because we went to like a dance, not a club, it's like a big, it was a kind of a dance venue, you know, and just fucking got ridiculously out of control. And but that doesn't happen anymore, right? Because of the chaotic element. You know, along with that, you know, there's always like, you have to, like, car salesmen are a great barometer for a lot of stuff like that, because to work in and amongst the chaos or to actually thrive or be functioning, like in the car business, particularly if you're in management or finance or, but more specifically on the lot sales, like you, once you get on that property, you can't leave really. So you got to leave all your shit at the curb. They tell you, like, our management told us, leave your baggage at the curb. All right. It's not going anywhere. So if there's fucking, if you come to work, and the minute you get on the property, your fucking house is burning down, your fucking wife, girlfriend is cheating on you or attempting to cheat on you, or you know you're, you know, she's gonna, like, I've had my lady burst into the showroom floor screaming for my name. I wasn't there that day. I don't know where I was, but. So there's like stuff you gotta put on hold, stuff you gotta put at the curb, and then you pick it back up. At the end of the day, you make a few deals, you focus, you be present, you deal with what's in front of you, like I'm saying. Don't look at the big picture. Don't look at the end result, like the end of the night when you know you got to go home and, you know, you've got to face the executioner of sorts, you know. And which is what I'm thinking when my lady gets home on Saturday night. It's just so. It's so fun. So yeah, it got a little wild. It got a little wild. She came home and she was dwelling on something that happened a couple years ago. Yeah. And that's what women do. Right? I don't know, guys do that, but not in the artistic way that women do. Not in the honed and refined assassin like ninja way that women can do it, right? I mean, it was like, and I'm not gonna air it on, you know, in public like that, but it got a little wild and it got a little chaotic and loud and tense, and she left and she came back and she got a bottle of wine and we split it, and then I fucking just made her orgasm twice, so. And now she's my best friend. So there you go. So check out Chris Williams' podcast on with Whitney Cummings. It's brilliant. It's illuminating. I sent it to my producer daughter. I sent it to my lady. But it's about it's not about being a high functioning chaos junkie. That's what I am. That's what Elon Musk is, right? But it's about just kind of, I don't know, being present, even though the whole world's burning down around you, like Bruce Willis in Die Hard. You know, that's a badass movie. I forgot how much of a badass he was in that movie. That was 1988, you know, which is such an interesting and weird coincidence that he's suffering from the same ailment, that affliction that my dad is. But but that's neither here nor there. It's just what happens. It's the life you sign on to, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if anybody would do this deliberately do invite chaos. But when it surfaces, man. So like, yeah, when I was at the Christmas party with Nissan in 2011, it was the best. It's like just watching Pete just work that thermometer, just barbaric, you know. But you kind of want that shit, right? I mean, the movie Office Christmas Party. It's the best. It's the best with T.J. Miller and Olivia Munn and Jason Bateman and fucking chaos, dude. And those are the best time. Yeah, like, that's something you'll well. I mean, it's if you were really involved in that, if you were part of that, if that was a real thing, like you would never forget that, right? You know, potential clients just swinging from the chandeliers and landing on file cabinets and just, you know, basically just putting themselves in traction because they accidentally got cocaine blasted in their face, right? Or, you know, the CEO of your company or the head of your company, it just goes on a bender, just straps and all of his cash that he has to his name, he's taped to his body, and just go out on a kind of a drunken bender with a female pimp. Like, that's the stuff you'll remember. Not the stuff that that's sedate, that you go to the, you know, you meet at the lobby of the Marriott and everyone is real polite. Like, no, you know, you just want to kind of get that over with, but not the chaos. The chaos is what I'm not promoting it, but it is kind of this, it's the spice of life. It's weird. I don't like it, but, right here we are. But among the, I'm sorry. But yeah, that's what's up. That's what's going on. I mean, other than that, in between the chaos of my life and relationship and everything around me, I did manage to get in a little bit of football. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away, and I missed the Bengals Vikings game. But look at that, Jake Browning from University of Washington by way of Folsom, California, pulls it off in OT, beating the red hot Vikings 27-24. With a big 44-yard throw in overtime, putting him in field goal position to T. Higgins. Fuck, this guy Browning, dude. I'm excited. Like, Bengals are 8-6 now. They're kind of in the hunt. Steelers lost to the Colts. So they're at 7-7. So the Bengals jumped them. I think the Browns won. Did the Browns win yesterday? I think they did. I think they fucking beat the Bears. Bears should have won that game. But alas. Yeah, the Browns beat the Bears. The Bears were looking good too. The Bears came out of nowhere and beat the Lions, and then the Lions go ahead and just mollywop, just fucking skull fuck the red hot Denver Broncos. Like, it's wild, right? It's a wild scene right now. And Cardinals are right now. So it's Sunday as we speak, and it's in the second quarter. Niners are only up by 4 over the Cardinals, 14-10. Bills, Cowboys. Great. That's going to be, God, don't tell me what happens. Okay. But, that's wild. I like the Colts. I like Gardner Minshew. Love that guy. I guess he has kind of one of those weird kind of all-terrain vehicles that are like equipped with a bunch of shit that he just pulls up to like a 24-hour health facility and just goes, he plays pickleball with like elderly women or something. Like, fuck, that's my guy, Gardner Minshew. He put them where they ended up, they're 8-6 as well. So it's getting tight, man. It's getting tight. All the 7-6 teams that went 7-7 are now on alert. And so it's, God, it's still like a big, you know, what's going on with the Eagles? You know, so you got the Eagles, Cowboys, Niners all at 10-3. Lions go to 10-4. So of those first three, the Niners, Eagles, Cowboys, somebody's got to lose. I think the Bills are going to beat the Cowboys. I'm saying that right now. I think the Cowboys are imposters, even though Dak Prescott's having a great – he's having the best season of his career, I think. Highest completing percentage and all that. But I just – and that it is a good team. Micah Parsons, great corner. I just – there's just something that's missing there. There's something in my head that's missing. Niners look legit, but they are beatable. But they – and the Eagles are just kind of like – I think they're just running out of gas. Who are they – who we got? What do we got? Who the – is there – who are the Eagles playing? Are they the – where the – what am I – have I gone mental here or what? Oh, they're the Monday – oh, they're tonight's game, Eagles-Seahawks. Okay, so they should win this game. But I don't know. So you got the best record in – so it's like Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Niners. At 10-3. And then you got the Lions who played Saturday at 10-4. So the best record we could conceivably have by the by the time this podcast comes out would be 11-3, which I foresee that happening with the Niners, but not the Eagles or the Cowboys. There, you said it. There, you heard it here first. You heard it here first. Take it to the bank. So if you're on one of those fucking gambling apps run by the mob, fucking put all your money on the Niners. And the Bills. All right. And that's the end. That is the end. This is the end. Do-do-do. My only friend, the end. All right. I gotta go. It's getting crazy out here. I love you all. And I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, baby.